Happy New Year. I've got one New Year's resolution this year. Last year I had four. This year I've got one. And it's to fulfill last year's resolutions. Familiar story? At the end of one year and the beginning of another, we come to a point where we often want to reevaluate our lives and look into the future and make some changes. We're able to start over, aren't we, at the beginning of a new year. It's the kind of end of one and beginning of another epoch, a period of time, and we're able to refocus and say, where am I going? What am I doing? How can I make changes in my life? We should be doing that all the time, but especially at the beginning of a new year. What will this year bring for you? For you? Are you facing the new year with apprehension or with excitement? Who knows what the future holds around the corner, even just this afternoon or tomorrow or next week or next month? As we look back over the last year in the community of Christians here, all sorts of things have happened that weren't anticipated at the beginning of the year. And we have no idea, God does, but we have no idea what this year holds for us. And that's why the Bible calls us to walk by faith, not by sight. Because we cannot see into the future. God, who is eternal, sees everything now as a present, but we can't. And the path to God is one of dependence on Him. You cannot come to God and accept that you depend on Him for His grace, His forgiveness, His love, His mercy, and you depend on Him for that through Jesus Christ. And He has woven dependence into our daily living. Everything we do, in many, many ways, you turn on the tap and drink water, you are depending, you're trusting that that water is good, that it doesn't have poison in it or something. You're sitting on chairs, you get in a bus and or on a train, you trust the driver and so on. Our life is full of dependence, and God wants us to be dependent on Him. As I say, He's woven it into our daily lives, and it's vital to our Christian living. This year you may face promotion, or you may face a business collapse. You may face sickness or a car crash, or you may get a legacy from an aunt in another country somewhere and find yourself with a couple of hundred grand more than you thought you had. I mean, who knows what's going to happen this year, good or bad? Abraham was a man of faith, and we're to face the future, face this year with faith. We walk by faith, not by sight. Abraham was a man, and he's set up in the Bible, he's presented as the biblical example of faith. And I'd like to read with you in Hebrews, so if you have your Bibles, please read, or it's actually up there on the screen. Hebrews chapter 11, which is the great faith chapter, talking about the faith of many men and women of old, and presenting them, and here it is, probably more spoken in this chapter about Abraham than any other of those that are listed in this Hall of Fame of Faith. Verse 8. By faith Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith he made his home in the promised land, like a stranger in a foreign country, and he lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. By faith Abraham, even though he was past age, and Sarah herself was barren, was enabled to become a father because he considered him faithful who had made the promise. So from this one man, and he as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and countless as the sand on the seashore. down to verse 17, by faith Abraham, when God tested him, offered Isaac as a sacrifice. He who had received the promises was about to sacrifice his one and only son, even though God had said to him, "It is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned." Abraham reasoned that God could raise the dead, and figuratively speaking, he did receive Isaac back from death. God will bless his word. Yes, the Bible says in Romans chapter 4, verse 11, Paul says that Abraham is the father of all who believe, and he's called the friend of God in James 2 because of his faith. Now, if we're facing an uncertain future and looking into this new year that we're embracing and moving into, already we're there, we need three aspects of the faith of Abraham that I think will be very applicable to our lives and our working through this year. First of all, faith's courage. Abraham was a moon worshipper in Ur of the Chaldeans, which is over in Iraq today, that area. He was a moon worshipper. And as you'll see, the ziggurat, which is there today, built back in about 2,000 years before Christ, was a centre of worship for worshipping the moon and the sun and the stars. And so he was called by God. He had an encounter with God, and God called him to leave there and to go somewhere where he didn't tell Abraham where he wanted him to go. He just said, "I want you to leave your kindred. I want you to leave your country. I want you to go to a place that I will show you," we read in the book of Acts. He was 75 years of age when this took place. He was an old man. And God called him at that age to go somewhere. And as I said, in Acts chapter 7, verses 1 and 2, we read that the glory of God appeared to Abraham. And God called him to leave his country, to leave his people, and to go to a land that God would show him. Now, I've got a map here to show you where he went. God called him to go, but he went via Haran. Now, Haran is in Turkey today, was another centre for the worship of the moon. And he went to Haran, and he was there until, it says in Acts, his father died. And when his father died, he went on his way further and came down to what is today Jerusalem, Shechem, and that whole area in Israel. He set out, not knowing where he was going. He was just following God's instruction. He was obeying God. It took great courage, I imagine, to do that. As we read in the story, we find that his father didn't have the same kind of faith. And his father obviously held him back and only went so far with him. And they settled in Haran till his father died. And then Abraham was able to continue on his journey. Faith requires courage. It's hard sometimes to follow God. Jesus said that if you want to follow me, you've got to take up your cross and follow me. It takes courage to be a Christian in a non-Christian world. It takes courage to stand up for your faith even when your own father, your mother or family are not committed like you might want to be. And so it takes courage. This man was willing to be courageous and at his age to leave behind the comforts and all the familiarity of his environment, his home, his people, his country, and to go where God was sending him without knowing where he was going to go. Great courage. We read in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17, "Come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord, and don't touch the unclean thing, and I will be a father to you, and you will be my sons and my daughters, says the Lord Almighty." And that's a call for Christians to come out, to be separate. We're living in the world, we're living in a society where people in the main do not believe in God and do not follow God and do not have the righteous standards and the moral standards that the Bible teaches and that we adhere to. And we are called to be separate while living in the world, to be willing to be courageous in our faith as we face this year, that we're going to face challenges in our faith that will call us to step out with courage to follow God in a world that is opposed to Jesus Christ. And so Matthew chapter 10 verse 19, we read these words. Jesus said, "Anyone who loves his father and mother more than me is not worthy of me. Anyone who loves his son and daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And anyone who does not take up his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it." And Jesus is saying that following him means he is first. And when it says anyone who does not love mother and father more than me, is not saying that you're not to love your mother and father. It's saying that the top priority in your life is to love God. And you know what? When you love God first and foremost and above everything else, you will actually love your mother and father better. And you will love your children better and your brother and sister better. It's not like one pitted against the other. The more you love God, the more you love others around you. Faith requires courage. Can you imagine? We were flying from Ireland back to England a year or two back. And Marg and I were sitting in the seats, and the third seat by the window was a girl. And from the time we rolled out onto the tarmac till the time we rolled back onto the tarmac, her fists were white, clenched on the armrests of the plane, and she wouldn't even look out the window. She just sat absolutely rigid, and somehow she managed to get to England. She didn't have much faith in the pilot or the plane because she was fearful to the core. She was totally fearful. But the plane still got her there. She didn't have much faith, but it's not the amount of faith that we have, it is the object of our faith. And when Abraham left his land, his kindred, his people, his country, he had incredible faith because he had faith in a God who he trusted. God had revealed himself to Abraham. And Abraham said, "I can trust this God. I can believe that what he says will come to pass." So he was willing to take courage and to do the hard thing, to actually leave and go where God sent him to go. It's not the amount of faith we have. It's the object of that faith. Secondly, we see faith's confidence. During this period, God revealed to Abraham that even though his wife Sarah, who at that stage was 65 and he was 75, and that he was 75, Sarah was barren all her life, never had children. And God said to Abraham and to Sarah, "You are going to have so many descendants that you won't even be able to count them, more than the sand on the seashore, more than the stars in heaven." And Abraham believed God. And the Bible says, because of his faith in God, God reckoned him righteous. And that is taken up in the New Testament and shows that when we believe God in the same kind of way, trust in Jesus Christ in the same sort of way, we are also declared righteous by God. That we are saved by faith, by believing what God has said. "He who hears my word," Jesus said, "and believes him who sent me shall not come into judgment, but is passed from death to life." See, what is faith? Faith is foremost a response to what God reveals. So when God reveals something, we then have a choice to respond to that. And if we believe what God says, then we act upon it. If we really do believe, we'll act. If you believe that Let's use an illustration. I heard the story once of in England, where buildings sometimes are built very close together across a road. And I've been in York and I've seen them, where the building goes out like this and you can shake hands with a neighbour across the road, because they come out very close and very narrow roads. And apparently there's a fire in one building, and the family were caught upstairs and they couldn't get down and get out. And so they had to cross over to the house that was opposite, very convenient, before it burnt down. But anyway, the father was getting all the children across, and one child was too scared to go across. So the father actually made a bridge, and he put his feet on at the windowsill of one house and his hands on the windowsill of the other house, and he got his child to crawl across him and go to safety before the father also got across. That child trusted his father, put his faith in the trustworthiness of his father. That's what faith is. When God reveals, as he has done in his word, like to Abraham, God revealed, he said, I'm going to do this. I promise you that you're going to have many descendants. Abraham responded to what God said in faith. He believed God. And it's the same with us. When we hear God's word, when Jesus spoke that he came as the Son of God and died on the cross for our sins, like that man lying across between the two houses so that someone, his son, could crawl to safety. So the Lord Jesus took our place and died on the cross. And he says, if you trust in me, you will be safe. You'll be forgiven. Your sins will be cleansed away. And you'll have a safety, if you like, a home in heaven. Faith's confidence is a response to God's word and really believing that God is trustworthy. If he promises something, it will happen. And this is what happened with this man, Abraham and his wife. But faith takes a journey. There is a starting point where you hear God's word, where you receive a revelation of what God has said and what he plans to do, and you respond to it in faith. But then that continues on for a long period of time, right through your life. And faith was a journey for this man. Abraham had challenges along that pathway. The first one was, of course, that he was 75 years old and his wife was barren. But do you know what? He had to wait 25 years. God promised something, and then 25 years later, it still hadn't happened. Sometimes it's hard to wait. And as we face this year, and we wonder what God has in store for us, what this year will bring to pass in our lives, we may be praying for things, we may be looking, we might be expecting God to act in answer to prayer, or whatever it might be. We face this year, there will be times when we will have to wait. And God will keep his promise. He is always faithful to his word. But like Abraham, he had to face the challenge of waiting for God's time, for God to fulfill his promise. His faith was tested. Faith is always tested. And Abraham and Sarah thought they'd help God out. So they had an Egyptian maid, Hagar, and so they said, all right, well, look, why don't you go in with her and have a baby through her, and that will sort of help God out. But it didn't work, and God said, no, that's not the one that I've chosen. And then when he was 100 and Sarah was 90, barren all her life, God performed the miracle. And she gave birth to Isaac. There's a challenge not only of waiting for God's time, there's a challenge of living in a foreign land. And it says that he built an altar and he lived in a tent. Two major things in the life of Abraham. Wherever he went, he built an altar and lived in a tent. Except when he went down to Egypt, he didn't build an altar there. But he built an altar, a place of worship, and he lived in a tent, showing that he was only temporarily living there. That wasn't really his final dwelling place. It says in Hebrews 11, by faith he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents. as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs of the same promise. Do you get it? He was a man who his faith in what God had promised resulted in him not putting roots down too much in the land where he was living. Because he looked, it says, for a city with foundations whose architect and builder is God. That he had an eternal perspective. And Lot was his nephew who went with him. Lot, he was wanting to put his roots down and move to a city which was prosperous and where he could make a lot of money. And Abraham let him go, and Abraham lived out there in the hills in a tent. And you know, Lot, in making that choice, thought he took the best. He had everything that he could want in that city of Sodom. Not realizing that it was under God's judgment, and one day it was destroyed by God. But by moving to Sodom, Lot, with his heart in the world, ended up being captured and taken captive in wars that city was involved in. His children grew up corrupt and morally corrupt, as we read in the Bible. His wife turned away from and had no faith and turned back. And all sorts of things happened because of his choice. Abraham stayed in the tent in the hills, and his faith with God, with his altar and his worship of God, he lived his life in the light of eternity. He didn't just put his roots down and life was all about now and that's it. One of the most astounding things in the story of Abraham, by the way, is that Abraham would, in faith, trust God and take 300 of his men, his servants, he had quite a number of servants, and go and fight a whole bunch of kings who were the most powerful kings, and had grouped together and taken Lot captive, and along with a whole lot of other women and gold and silver and so on. And he chased these kings and he routed them, and he took back Lot and all those that had been stolen and so on. Amazing story. It's just tucked in there in the middle of the life of Abraham. Amazing faith this man had. Anyway, the third thing was that the challenge of hard times. And when he faced famine, this is a time when Abraham's faith faltered. And Abraham left the promised land, the place where God had put him, and he went down to Egypt because life was easier there during the famine. And we find that he compromised his faith down there, and he told lies, and he was deceitful, and his whole life was affected by that choice. And I think that's a good thing to remind ourselves of, that he wasn't a perfect man. We all struggle in our faith as we walk through the journey of life. There was no altar in Egypt. He had luxury down there. He was given sheep, oxen, camels and servants. But he didn't have communion with God. And I want to ask you at the beginning of this year, when tough times come, not only when tough times come, but we can be so taken up, I can be, with things and with our prosperity, with our life, that we compromise and we lose that altar in our lives and lose our communion with God and don't really walk close to God. Is it worth it? And Abraham had to come back and build an altar and worship the Lord back where God had placed him. And finally, faith commitment. In chapter 22 of Genesis, we read that God called Abraham to take the one son who had been born that God had promised. And at the age of 100 and Sarah at 90, this little baby was born, and then he grew up, and as a young teenager, this great miracle child that God had given, and God had said, this man, this young man, Isaac, is the one who I'm chosen. Through him, Messiah will come. Through him, he'll bless the world. Now God says, take him. and lift your knife and kill him as a sacrifice. Now, God doesn't endorse human sacrifice. I've got to say that. But God was testing Abraham, and it says he was testing him. The word test there is to prove Abraham. It wasn't to try and make him do something he shouldn't do, but it was to prove the reality of his faith. The word is nasar. It means to prove the quality or the authenticity of something. And God wanted to prove the authenticity of his faith, to show the reality of his faith. And so he said, do this. And he took his son up onto Mount Moriah, which today is what we call Calvary in Jerusalem, the same hill, the same mountain where Jesus died. And as Abraham obeyed God and was about to kill his son, it says in Hebrews, we read it there, that he didn't understand. He knew that God had promised through this young man, Isaac, that God would bless the world. And he knew that God was faithful to his word, so the only thing he could think of was that after he'd killed him, God would raise him from the dead. What faith this man had! But his faith led to a commitment that meant he would obey God no matter what. He would do what God wants. So he raised his knife and was about to kill his son, and God stopped him and provided a lamb in the place. A ram, caught in the thicket. And God sent him to take that ram and put the ram on the altar, take his son off, and kill the ram in place of his son. Beautiful picture of what Jesus has done for us. That God, with his one and only son, offered up his only son. He didn't take his son off the altar. Remember Jesus on the cross? And the people were saying, if you're the Son of God, come down and save yourself and us. No. God sent his only son, his one and only son into the world, that through him we might be saved. And so when God sent his son to the same mountain to be crucified there, God didn't remove his son and provide someone else. In fact, his son was the lamb, the provision for our sin. But going back to commitment, the faith of Abraham was a faith that was committed, obedient to God. As we face this year, we need those three aspects of faith. We need to have a faith that has courage to face whatever the Lord allows, and to obey him and stand out and be separate and distinctive and followers of Jesus in a world that doesn't follow Jesus. We need confidence in the journey through this year, to depend upon him for his leading, for his provision. And we need commitment to obey him in whatever he calls us to do. That's the kind of faith that we can face this year with, and walk with him, put our hand in the hand of God, and let him lead us through this year. And we will turn back and we will give praise and honor to him, because he is the one who will lead us through this year. And whatever we face, if you're fearful, apprehensive, anxious about this year, or if you're blasé, don't really care much about just living life, but still things can happen, good things and bad. But whatever we face in this year, we can trust God with this kind of faith. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that Abraham had such courage to take the steps he did. He had such confidence in your trustworthiness, your faithfulness to your promises and to your word. And he had such commitment to obey you no matter what you commanded him to do. May this kind of faith be ours, Lord. May we use him as an example, and may we follow Jesus no matter what it costs. Give us the strength and the courage to do that, we pray, through Jesus Christ, our Lord.